Start your impossible and your new year with a Toyota Career. Toyota's all-new electric battery plant will open in Liberty, North Carolina later this year. The state-of-the-art facility will be the hub for producing electric batteries in North America. We are hiring in areas like maintenance, engineering, quality, and production. A career with Toyota North Carolina brings great pay, industry-leading benefits, and many opportunities to learn and grow. Learn more and apply at toyota.com/careers.
So from story after story in the media, left-wing media, we saw anonymous source after anonymous source based on second or third-hand accounts. And time again, stories would come out and people would reach out to me and say, you know, I've spoken to this reporter about who you really are and I was willing to go on the record. But they didn't print my quote. They didn't print any of my quotes. Or I've worked with you for 10 years, or I was your accountant, or I was your chief operating officer, or I was your board member, or I was with you on 100 different tour stops for Concerned Veterans for America. No one called me. No one asked about your conduct on the record or off the record. Instead, a small handful of anonymous sources were allowed to drive a smear campaign, an agenda about me, because our left-wing media in America today, sadly, doesn't care about the truth.
Well, media's never really cared. And then it's not just in this day. They don't care about the truth. I'm not going to dive into the history of the media right now, but from the get-go, it's been always been propaganda. It's always been like a form of propaganda. I mean, ultimately, welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We are monitoring this hearing that it's Pete Hegseth in this hearing, and he's going for, obviously, as you know, Secretary of Defense. And the questions, can I just say, I've been listening to this hearing. I've had to run around like crazy today. I had an emergency dentist appointment and all this and running around trying to get, and I'm like listening to this hearing. So there are portions of it that I missed, like when I was in the chair, you know, and I was getting my crown replaced there and then I had my crown on my head. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I haven't heard a single question from a single Democrat that has to do with war fighting. Did I miss anything?
Nope.
Did I miss something?
Nope.
Are we sure?
Yep.
Because there for a little bit, you know, I was in the chair at the dentist. You know, and it's really hard to, you know, listen when they got the stuff going and, you know, your mouth is gaping open. It's like really hard. So I didn't miss anything. You're telling me I did not miss a Democrat actually asking a question about war fighting?
I actually have audio from Crazy Hirono. She just recently...
Did she ask a question about war fighting?
Ooh, we can hear it and you can...
You can't... Really?
You can determine if that's what she was asking about.
All right, go ahead.
But
go ahead. Here, go ahead, play this. Play this nightmare.
As Secretary of Defense, you will swear an oath to the Constitution and not an oath to any man, woman, or president, correct?
Senator, on multiple occasions, including as a young second lieutenant, I have sworn an oath to the Constitution.
Answer is yes.
And I'm proud to do so. Yes, ma'am.
In June of 2020, then President Trump directed former Secretary of Defense Mark Esper to shoot protesters in the legs in downtown D.C., an order Secretary Esper refused to comply with. Would you carry out such an order from President Trump?
Senator, I was in the Washington, D.C. National Guard unit that was in Lafayette Square during those
events. Would you carry out an order to shoot protesters?
What are these people?
I saw 50 Secret Service agents get injured by rioters trying to jump over the fence, set the church on fire, and destroy a statue.
You know what? That sounds to me that you will comply with such an order. You will shoot protesters in the leg.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. First off, dear God, please put a hand over my mouth because I'm not going to be able to get through the show without Steve burning through the dump button. It's just not going to happen today. I am so... This is how the question's going. And by the way, if you're just joining us, welcome. Dana Lash, top of the first hour. These are how the questions are going. So if Donald Trump told you to go and shoot baby puppy dogs in the head, would you go do that? Would you take out that order? Like, what's the context here? Like, are they vicious baby puppy dogs? Are they mutants? Are they rabid? Do they pose a threat? Zombies. Yeah, are they, like, what's the context here to your crazy-ass question, you crazy-ass woman? What is the context here? So if Trump asks you to eat the world's hottest pepper, would you do it? I mean, like, these are how the stupid these questions are. Would you eat a ghost pepper for Trump? Would you, Pete Hegseth? Would you eat a ghost pepper, Trump? I just can't even take it seriously. If I don't laugh at it, I'm going to scream. So you will indulge me. These are how their questions are going. And then what was, there were like three, oh gosh, I'm trying to think, who was the other old, I don't know, old white and Democrat. That's like the whole party. I could, you know, with a posture of a cocktail shrimp, that's still the whole party. Crusty old, still the whole party, you know? Where they have like the skin texture of a Captain D's Cracklin, where it's like that, right?
I think uh-huh. Senator Gillibrand might have been one of them you were thinking of.
She's not the old man who basically was like, how many times do you beat your wife? But her rant was insane. So imagine you're, you know, going in for your sec def hearing. Here's Kirsten Gillibrand losing her mind. What is she freaking out about? The women and the gays. Go ahead. Soundbite 11 D Frillion. I don't even know. I don't even know what the hell soundbite it is. I just know we have it because there's like two pages of audio. It's 27. I think it's 27.
So women, you have denigrated. You have also denigrated members of the LGBTQ community. Did you know that when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was in place, we lost so many crucial personnel, over 1,000 in mission critical areas?
Who did that? 10% okay, stop. I'm not going to get there. Wait, stop. We're going to have to be. Who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Sorry, I just made your dogs deaf. Who did it? It rhymes with the closed but no cigar. Under the desk, Shmuel Benton. Rhymes with that name. Who did Don't Ask, Don't Tell? It's Bill Clinton! What is the party affiliation of one Bill Clinton? Kane? Party affiliation of one Bill Clinton?
That would be Democrat, Dan.
Democrat, you don't say. Oh. What? Okay, go ahead. Let it go. This is going to be a day.
Know that when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was in place, we lost so many crucial personnel, over 1,000 in mission critical areas. We lost 10% of all our foreign language speakers because of a political policy. You said in your
speech,
you don't want politics in the DOD. Everything you've said in these public statements is politics. I don't want women. I don't want moms. What's wrong with a mom, by the way? Once you have babies, you therefore are no longer able to be lethal. I mean, you're basically saying women, after they have children, can't ever serve in the military in a combat role.
Just like
role.
Making
it's,
up stuff to put in his mouth at this point.
It's a silly thing to say.
I mean, you can. He didn't say it. He totally didn't say it. Why do you hate women? Why did you say women are stupid and I hate them and they're not allowed? Like, well, I didn't say that. Why did you say it? He just has to sit there and listen to this. Dear heavens, I would never make it through this process. I would be bitch slapping everybody and hauled off in jail. There's no way I could, no way. I mean, at Parkland, I prayed for like 2 hours straight to that event. I don't think that there's the flight's that long from Dallas to DC. I wouldn't be able to go through that confirmation process. It's not a long enough time for me to pray for the Lord to firmly put a hand over my mouth. Good night. Can you imagine you show up and this is what they're just making up stuff and attributing it to you. Now, look, I'm not a blind tribalist. I am a practical Machiavellian. That's how I would describe my politics. A practical Machiavellian who wants to be left TF alone. That's me. And yes, there's things you can criticize Hegseth for. I think that, you know, this is where living in a social media world and going for clicks can work against you, because everybody has to be flashy all the time. And then when you are considering a position where you have to be measured and discerning and look like the steady hand of control, then those two realities meet and you have to reconcile them. And that's a tough thing to do. That said, if you're going to go after the guy for something, make it for something he actually, I don't know, said. I don't know. I mean, they're asking whether or not this guy is competent enough to run DOD. Can I remind you about the twink that they had literally as the deputy nuclear whatever? He was the deputy nuclear twink, and he stole ladies' suitcases, ran the hell around the country stealing women's bags right and left. If you were missing a bag at any point in the last few years, I'll be damned, Sam Benton probably stole your luggage and he's out there wearing your panties right now. I'm just saying. They had that twink running around stealing everybody's luggage. And that man had a security clearance. That man was the deputy nuclear twink, Kane. Or if I were saying it in a Texas way, nuclear. Nuclear twink. By the way, sidebar, new band name. Nuclear Twinks. Oh, and it's boy. Like a Scissor Sisters cover band of very, very flashy Elton John, early Elton John, but yet conservative gay dudes. How about that?
Noting.
Okay. Gosh, I've already had the costumes in my head. I have more audio. How are we doing this today? Because, oh my gosh, there's like other stuff that I have to get. I can't, man. I would be escorted out. There's no, I couldn't even sit there. Couldn't even sit there for this. So with Hegseth, and again, I haven't heard a single question from a single Democrat about war fighting. What do I care how you have sex in war? Can you shoot a dude between the eyes if he's a Terry? Can you? I default to my position on terrorism, by the way, is the Key and Peele skit on it. If you wanted to know what that is, when they're on the plane, it's one of the funniest skits I've ever seen in my life. I've seen it a million times. I can't play it because they'll fine us. Yeah. But it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And I would probably freak them out if I were sitting next to them talking about my preparedness on a plane. And they wouldn't be able, I wouldn't be like the scared dude they were talking to. But that's my, you know, why do we care? So-and-so likes Lisa Frank stickers. Should that be allowed in the military? Shut up! What does this have to do with war fighting? Well, blah, blah, blah. The case. What does that have to do with war fighting? Can you do a Mozambique? Two in the head, one in the chest. Can you do it? Yes, no? Huh? I don't know. The whole thing is frustrating. This is about war fighting. This is about the fighting force. There are no feelings in this. It is very, very clinical because there are objectives to accomplish. And when you don't do your mission right, people die. It is serious. And they're sitting here messing around with identity politics in a hearing, asking questions about, well, if someone wants to pretend that their penis is a vagina, should they, I don't know, are they mentally stable enough to pop a terrorist? Are they? I mean, are they, is it possible for them to give that much of themselves and serve their country without having to put how they have sex or whether or not they like to tuck as like their priority? I mean, do we really have to sit here and consider special badges for them, a tucker? Like, do we have to do that? You know why it sounds absurd? Because it's absurd that this is even a conversation that we are having. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to make it through this show. We got to get moving, but I got headlines. I haven't even touched on anything else. I have five other things for this segment. We're just going to blow right through it. Sorry, guys. We'll come back to it. With everything going on in the world right now, the economy, conflicts, the open border, spiraling national debt, the devastating inflation, it's critical that you have a plan for diversifying and protecting your savings. And that's why so many, including myself, have turned to precious metals like gold and silver to help protect our savings. And I've partnered with the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, to make that happen. It's a great company with a great reputation, and they could not have made the process any easier. And right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit that will show you how precious metals can help protect and diversify your savings. And for my audience, they're offering up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver on qualified orders. All you have to do is visit DanaLikesGold.com to get started today. Goldco has helped thousands of Americans place over $3 billion in gold and silver, and they can help you as well. Join thousands who trust Goldco. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Not only does Trump need an eraser, he needs a lot of them. From banning gas water heaters and banning areas for drilling oil, Biden's claims for a smooth transition were nonsensical. Trump needs to start from scratch.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, I was looking at just some other audio that we're going to get ready to play here for you for the next segment. All right. So first and foremost, we have the ongoing hearing right now, as we were talking about, with SecDef nominations. And then there's others that are going to get underway in other committees, too. But this is the one that's, you know, super important. So we'll follow it. So apparently the National Archives are looking for people who can read cursive. Yeah, they want volunteers. The government wants you to volunteer more of your time to help transcribe the historical archives. But you have to, they include Revolutionary War pension records. You can sign up on their website, but you have to be able to read cursive, and they're acting like it's a rare thing. It's not hieroglyphics, okay? It's cursive. It's still, I mean, people should still be writing in cursive. That should be taught in school. It should. Let's see this. We had this Humvee headline yesterday. This is interesting. In St. Louis, our hometown, restaurants are becoming targets for used cooking oil thieves. That's really nasty. According to Ace Grease, oil thefts and lost revenue results in lost revenue totaling more than $40 million annually. So investigators in St. Louis are trying to track down these thieves that are stealing used cooking oil from restaurants. And it doesn't matter the neighborhood. They're going after everything and processing it into biodiesel. So they went in, they were at the Central West End, which is a ritzy part of the city. They showed two men on camera backing up their truck. They hooked up a hose to the tanker and transferred oil from the restaurant storage container. How is it that easy to do? You just back up your truck. That's wild. So they said that, you know, one tank could be worth over like $5,000 in used cooking oil. That's crazy that that's... scientists link a popular drink with over 330,000 deaths a year, and it better not be Diet Pepsi, or we're going to have some problems. They published this blah, blah, blah. That's funny. They said sugary drinks, like sugar-sweetened beverages, they are linked to 330,000 fatalities a year. I don't do juices. I don't do juices because I think they're stupid. It's just loaded with sugar. If I'm going to eat fruit, I'll eat fruit. I don't need to eat through a straw, so I'm not going to do stupid juices and stupid smoothies. I hate all that stuff. I just want black coffee and bacon. So yeah, stop with your sweetened beverages. You don't need that much sugar, because there's a ton of sugar in it and all of that. Stick with us. We got more in store. Folks who help bring you the program, partners of ours, it's the non-firearm, firearm, Burn-A-Gun. What Burna does, the Burn-A-Gun emits chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And it's a great diverse option for self-defense when your options are limited through no choice of your own, whether it's a gun-free zone or whatever it is. You want to make sure that you have a little bit of diversity and that you're able to protect yourself so you're not becoming a statistic. I have a lot of friends who live in areas where they really try to control what you can and can't carry, and they've gone out and gotten the Byrna SD, which is Byrna's most popular model. It's a model that a lot of law enforcement is incorporating as well, to have a diverse array themselves. Five-round capacity against chemical irritant projectiles. There's different models. That's just their most popular one. And the other thing is that it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. It's illegal in all 50 states. No background checks. No permits. They can ship it right to your door. So it's accessible to everybody. This is the perfect time, new year, new you, to reevaluate your self-defense options. Visit Byrna.com/Dana. That's BYRNA.com/Dana to get 10% off your purchase.
Justin Trudeau announces he will resign as Prime Minister of Canada. Republicans get off to a very smart start in the new Congress. And the left loses its mind as Trump talks about acquiring Greenland, the Panama Canal, and even Canada. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the 3 Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast.
We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope.
Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Charges? Well, he was fully investigated, and that was completely cleared. And I am so grateful for the marriage I have to this amazing woman behind me.
You've admitted that you had sex at that hotel in October 2017. You said it was consensual. Isn't that correct?
Trying to get into Pete Hegseth's pants.
Anything? Yes. You've admitted that it was consensual, and you were still married, and you just had a child by another woman.
Again,
how do you explain your judgment?
Completely false charges against me.
You
investigated, and I was completely clear.
You have admitted that you had sex while you were married to wife two after you just had
fathered a child by wife
three. I feel
like Tim Kaine's going to go, how did you pull that off? What advice do you have?
Now, if it had been a sexual assault, that would be disqualifying to be Secretary of Defense, wouldn't it?
It was a false claim then and a false claim now.
If it had been a sexual assault, that would be disqualifying to be Secretary of Defense, wouldn't it?
That was a false claim.
So you
talking about a hypothetical.
So you can't tell me whether someone who has committed a sexual assault is disqualified from being Secretary of Defense?
Senator, I know in my instance, and I'm talking about my instance only, it was a false claim.
But you acknowledge that you cheated on your wife and that you cheated on the woman whom you had just fathered a child. You have admitted that.
Okay.
I will allow your words to speak for themselves.
You're not retracting that today. That's good.
I mean, the questions are, you have to expect this. Let me tell you something. First off, Dana Lash here. Welcome back. I don't think that Pete Hegseth is an angel. And yeah, I mean, would you say that's kind of ho-ish? Yeah, you absolutely would. But at the same time, you have what I think is probably, and I'm saying this on the strength of confirmation, not like him as a person or his credentials. So let's comprehension. But I think out of all of the nominees, he's the weakest because of the confirmation process. And yet Democrats found a way to screw that up too. They could play this real cool. And they could draw him into certain things and, you know, get him all tied up. They could do it, but they decide to be hysterical and get over their skis because Democrats, they are the worst poker players on God's green earth. When they have something, like you give them, and again, not a statement on his credentials, but he's the weakest of the nominees. When you give them, you know, someone that they theoretically could probably sideline, they get so excited over it, they just lose all sense. And they have, they go crazy. Tim Kaine looks nuts. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of a Warner Brothers character. Specifically, the Jekyll and Hyde from when Bugs Bunny was doing that monster's hair and all this stuff and shaving him and all that. Yeah. That's what I'm...
I wish my brother George was here.
Yeah. Or he looks like he could be a Klopek from The Burbs, which if you've never seen that movie, it is the funniest family-friendly movie you will ever watch in your life. And Bruce Dern is amazing. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. He could be a Klopek from The Burbs. His hair is crazy. He looks crazy, which, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Didn't his kid get arrested for like terrorism or something at a rally? Tim Kaine's kid got arrested because he was acting like a thug at a rally. And it was like a domestic terrorism thing. And they charged him. He's on probation. So is Tim Kaine... the questioning would mean something if it came from someone who had no stone to throw. And I think that immediately nullifies the criticism in a lot of people's minds. I get it, because what Tim Kaine is trying to argue with this soundbite is, well, Pete Hegseth couldn't keep his oath to his wife. How do you expect him to keep his oath as Secretary of Defense? You're a Democrat and you're asking me this. I'm not making excuses for Pete Hegseth. I'm not an advisor to him. I've never met him. I'm not getting paid. I'm not going up there and I don't kiss rings or asses. I don't do any of this stuff. But that's a stupid thing. That's a stupid line of questioning. you're talking about a warfighter. Warfighters are a complicated breed. And it's difficult for them to have successful marriages. I have a lot of veteran friends. And there are, you know, couples that my husband and I have even talked with. It can be a tough thing. And there's some really great stories and some really sad stories out there. But, you know, these guys, they see a lot. And, you know, it gets a little tough. Everybody processes things differently. I don't know, you know, how much that, I'm not excusing anything. I'm just saying, by and large, it's, you know. But I will say this. One of my favorite people in history to study is General Patton. And I love his story because he was such a flashy rebel. You know, he got in trouble because he whooped up on some subordinate because he said he was acting like a coward. And Patton got in trouble. And they handed off the reins to Omar Bradley. And so to pay his penance, Patton had to go on this like USO tour right throughout Europe, which actually helped a lot. And they said, all right, we're going to give you command of this fictional group, the Ghost Army, because we're going to do some psyops on the Nazis. They had several different ones. Ian Fleming, by the way, who wrote James Bond. There were like three different, they would fall under Ghost Army classification missions that Ian Fleming was actually four, really, that he was an integral part of. You had the one in England where they were trying to fool the Nazis about where the airfields were in England. Then you had the op where they dropped a dude out of a plane and made it look like it was a plane crash. And they Nazis just happened to find documentation misleading them about where D-Day and when D-Day was going to happen. And then, of course, you have the movie that I think it was Guy Ritchie based his Ungentlemanly Warfare on, where they went down and they were destroying some of these tankers that were refueling these U-boats down off the coast of Africa, right? The Ivory Coast. And then, of course, you had the more famous Ghost Army op, which was going throughout Europe and distracting the Nazis so that they would not, especially when they were trying to get across the Rhine, so that they would anticipate Allied crossing elsewhere. And so they employed inflatable tanks. They would literally hire actors and actresses who served in this. There were Bill Blass, a designer, was in this. I mean, camera pioneers, all kinds of stuff, where all kinds of people were part of this. And they psyoped the Nazis into thinking that the Allies were places where they weren't. And it was so successful. It actually was a big part of victory for the Allies. And then Patton, basically, they figured, we're going to give Patton control of this fictionary group, this fictitious group. And that's the only way that the Nazis are going to think it's real. If they hear Patton is commanding this, then they're going to think it's real. So it was like two birds, one stone. They were making Patton pay this penance. He was going around rallying the troops, with the, you know, the USO style. And then he was lending this fictional PSYOP group an air of like legitimacy in terms of there's a lot more of them than you think, and it wasn't just a PSYOP, right? And then after that, he took control of the third again, and you know, the rest is history. Patton was very flashy. He had customized pistols that he carried. He was, you could say, a braggart. He was everything that you would want to be in a leader. He was loud. He was eloquent, though, and just incredibly entertaining. I've read so much about Patton, and I've seen, I think, everything committed to celluloid about Patton. Patton became Patton after he got the job. If you're going to be like Patton, you got to mind your P's and Q's. When you get in, then you can go full Patton. But we live in this social media environment where people have to constantly show what they're doing 24/7, which is bad personal strategy. Never let people know what you're doing. Never show your cards. Don't brag about something until it's done. You know, don't flex until the ink is dry. People got to be better at that. The social media is a highly curated cancer on the thought process of humanity. I use it because at first it was helpful, and then just like with everything, it can be corrupted and compromised, and now it's like, you know, cancerous. It's just, I don't know. The problem is that everybody thinks that they have to brag about everything that they're doing, and they put this up and they go for clicks. There are people on the right that do this. You'll see people post stupid tweets or posts on X, and you're like, why are they doing this? They're doing it for engagement. They're farming you for engagement, and they're making money. Every time you watch the video, even if you don't hit play, it auto plays. That counts. They're all doing this to drive up clicks and attention, and that's what everybody chases. And even people in serious government positions do the same thing. The problem is when you go for something like SecDef or anything else, the reality of what that job demands and the showy clickbait culture, those things crash against each other. And so Democrats, you know, they're not doing a really good job of highlighting that. And I would think that that's their biggest opening. But because they're Democrats and they're partisan zealots, they're so far over their skis, they're screwing this up for themselves. That's how I'd look at it. But to ask questions about all this stuff, when did Democrats become the party of morality? I know that if I mess up and I get correction, I don't pay any attention from correction from anyone that I think is more morally compromised than me. I do not. I don't even process it. It just flies across my face. I don't even process it. Anybody that I think is morally compromised more than I ever could be, I don't take anything that they say seriously. It's the people whose witnesses the lives that they live. When they give you correction, you're like, ooh, ooh. That's why I can't take this seriously. Tim Kaine being all crazy, asking these questions of Pete Hegseth and the way that they're asking them. This is not about being elegant and questioning. It's they're doing this because this is the way that they feel like they can punish him. We're going to get into some of the issues that they're talking about. We also got to get into the latest with the fires. Homeowners are facing an insurance crisis there. We got to discuss that. In Florida, they're having a huge fight. So Governor DeSantis, who has been talking with President-elect Trump the whole time about this, that's why their message is apparently coordinated. He wanted to bring the legislature in for a special session to start working on immigration. And the rhinos, the ones who are red flag law supporters, the ones who have horrible scores when you rate their record, they lost their minds. Imagine you just won an election and you're bitching and moaning about having to go do your job. Florida rhinos. And they immediately, because Florida is kind of like taking the tip of the spear on this, and then other red states are following their blueprint for doing it, they're immediately clearing the path so that when Trump's in office, these immigration orders can immediately be implemented. And the legislature is dragging their feet. They're already, the rhinos who contributed to this problem, are already doing everything they can to torpedo this agenda. They think, we're just going to ease into it. And DeSantis is like, let's go now. So they all got mad at him yesterday. And I guess they didn't realize that he had been talking to Trump about this the entire time. And Trump retweeted his statement this morning, reposted it on Truth Social. So a lot of these wannabe, like Trump, inner circle people that are these rhinos, these red flag rhinos in Florida, they're having to eat a lot of crow today. You want to talk about getting over your skis? That's what I'm saying. You don't say it until it's done. And then look how stupid they look. DeSantis is like, yeah, well, here, I've been talking to Trump. And then Trump's like, yeah, I've been talking to DeSantis about it. This is the way to go. That's a shot across the bow to these rhinos. They better be paying attention. We got more in store as we roll towards, already Days of These United States. My gosh, we have like 3 pages of audio almost. It's going to be a banger day. As we move, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Preborn. This is such a great organization, and they do so much to protect lives, save lives, and also grow families as well. Preborn is right there. They meet women where they are. It's a Sanctity of Life Month, which I didn't know we had that, but that's neat. And the reality still is that, you know, the abortion means are changing. Everything is like, the morning after pill, etc. But in 23... there were over 1 million lives lost in abortion clinics. It's the highest number in over a decade. So Preborn, what they do is they meet women where they are, and they've saved 200 babies every day on average. And they do this through a number of things. The power of ultrasounds. When a woman hears her baby's heartbeat, when she sees her infant in an ultrasound, the chance for that baby to be born increases by 50%. But they also help these women get or stay on their feet. They help them all the way towards the second year of life. So they're there helping with baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and making sure that these women, that they're on the right track with their families. And it's free of charge. And this is what Preborn does. This is what your donations do. For $28, it's the cost of a dinner. You can sponsor an ultrasound, give a mother opportunity to meet her baby for the first time. Everything is tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Dial #250 and help. Say the keyword baby after dialing #250. That's pound or hashtag for Gen Z. 250 and say the word baby. You can also donate securely at preborn.com/Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I'm here in Greenland. This kid's got a MAGA hat on. What's your message to Donald Trump?
Fight Greenland.
Fight Greenland.
Fight Greenland. Fight Greenland.
No more Danish.
No more Danish. We don't like Danish people.
What did the Danes do to them?
Right.
I didn't know that there was like all this animosity between the Greenlanders and the Danes. Dang. Well, there's some teenagers. Do they pay taxes? Because if they don't, I don't care what their opinions are. Dana, why are you so like George Carlin today? I don't know. Maybe because I had to listen to these like cantankerous old bats sit here and screech at Hegseth for however long it's been going on. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. I was looking at reading the story. So Mike Johnson removed Thomas Massie from the Rules Committee. So the guy who's a rhino removed the most arguably conservative member of the House from the Rules Committee because he's butthurt that he got called out on what he is. It's petty politics. It's par for the course. I just think it's funny. I mean, it's either you like conservatism and you like actually making America first or you don't. You know, I just think it's funny that the guy who's Kevin McCarthy Jr., the actual moderate, goes after the most conservative member in the House. I mean, that's what a Democrat would do. Moderates anymore are no different from Democrats. I mean, you can just look down in Florida and see that. Look in Texas and see it. The stuff that's been happening. You got to pay attention to your state houses as well. So, for instance, in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday called for a special session. And there he wants to immediately hit the ground running the second that Trump takes office. He wants to hit the ground running, clearly. And he wants to take care of this, all of this with immigration and deportations and all of this. And he had asked Florida to come in, Floridians. The governor is meeting with Trump to discuss immigration. He called for a special session to assist orders that Trump is going to deliver. He's going to, on the 20th, he's coming out with these executive orders, and a good portion of it's going to cover immigration. And this is what this is all about. And these Democrats like Daniel Perez and several others are losing their minds that they have to go to work early. They're livid. And so Perez actually retweet, or no, there's Daniel Perez or several others. One lawmaker tweeted a GFU, don't Google that, go do something unflattering to yourself, to DeSantis, because they were asked to come in early so that they could prepare and be just like, so one of these guys like tried to run. He did a Hail Mary and pretended that he was a big Trump fan towards the end of his campaign. I don't know how you can say that you're a fan of POTUS-elect when you're already trying to defecate all over his immigration orders by refusing to do your job. With Republicans like those in Florida, who needs Democrats? We got a lot more on the way, including more on this story. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. The folks who help bring you the program, it's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. This is such a great service. You need to memorize the website. They make it so easy. All Family Pharmacy helped my family out a lot over Thanksgiving because, you know, right on Thanksgiving when offices are closed and you end up getting sick, it's a mess and you got to get medicine. All Family Pharmacy made it super easy. And you can visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Use code Dana and you'll get 10% off of your entire order. So this is affordable access, easy and cost effective for medicine. You don't have to break the bank to access these medicines. There's no red tape. There's no hassle. Everything's made in the USA. You're not getting Chinese antibiotics. It's not how that's working. They got a proven track record And you work with their doctors. Their doctors get you the medication that you need, fast delivery right to your door. You can even overnight stuff if needed. And you can rely on All Family Pharmacy to keep your health needs on track. If you need antibiotics, if you need things like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, which is actually a good antiviral, you can get those at All Family Pharmacy. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Get 10% off of, with using code Dana. 10% off your purchase using code Dana10. It's Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order only at allfamilypharma.com/Dana.
Right now. It's not one. My motivation for this job.
I understand
has never
that.
Been
I just
about
need a yes or no here.
Come next.
Time is short. I just need a yes or no.
I would consult with the president about what the policy should be at the Defense Department.
In other words, you're quite sure that every general who serves should not go directly into the defense industry for 10 years, but you're not willing to make that same pledge?
I'm not a general, Senator.
You'll be the one, let us just be clear, in charge of the generals. So you're saying sauce for the goose, but certainly not sauce for the gander.
I would want to see what the policy of the president is.
Oh, I'll bet you
would.
Thank
you, Senator Warren.
Senator Liawatha, there. Oh, I absolutely can make fun, and I will forever make fun of her for that. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you. So that actually just happened in the ongoing hearings that they're having for SecDef. And I'm watching my monitor as well. Pete Hegseth, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of the second hour. That was, she looks like a loon. So you're telling me that, you know, that these generals go into the industry. Are you telling me you wouldn't go into the industry too? Well, I'm not a general, Senator. Not a general. Good heavens. Democrats are just getting over their skis on this. And like I said last hour, you know, I'm not a partisan zealot. Definitely not. Definitely not. And I don't dislike Hegseth at all. I do think, and I say this based on the process of confirmation and, you know, just some of the other things. It's, I think he's a little bit more complicated than some of these other nominees. I think if there was a nominee that they could try to outmaneuver, it would be him. But they are not on their game today. They are, you can tell they're so excited to get him. They don't care what on, just get him. That they sound like loons. Their questions sound ridiculous. Tim Kaine sounded like a pervert. Elizabeth Warren sounds like a moron. I'm not being mean. You know, these are not, I'm not name calling. It's only name calling if it's a lie. And none of these are lies. These are all true things. We've been playing these audio sound bites. The questions that they ask, that they're asking are insane. They're just insane. Then you have this. Can we play audio soundbite 17, please? This is from Senator Blumenthal. First, let's just go ahead and listen to him.
But let's be very clear, Nicole, even with what we know in the public record so far, he is probably the most unqualified nominee for a position of serious consequence in the United States government in recent history.
Really? Senator Blumenthal, the guy who lied about his service in Vietnam, wants to just adjudicate someone else's record. Blumenthal. He lied about Vietnam. He didn't say that he was a, he didn't just go, oh, I went to Vietnam. He was like, I'm a war hero and I've saw combat. And he said all this stuff on the campaign trail, in his ads, everything else. The New York Times ran a piece on it in May of 2010. Richard Blumenthal's words on service differ from his history. He lied. Stolen valor. Now, anybody else, is that a crime?
Stolen valor?
I mean, if you're a senator, how are you? I mean, he lied about Vietnam. He lied about it. NBC. Trump says Blumenthal lied about Vietnam. Parenthetical, he did. That's NBC saying this. NBC, you know, they're so right-leaning, NBC. CBS, did Richard Blumenthal lie about serving in Vietnam? Yes. I mean, the man, it's like his stories got more wondrous as time went on. I mean, he, for everybody, for years, he told everybody that he was this great, he was a war hero.
This all came out when he was AG in Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah. He would never went to Vietnam. He had 5 deferments. And then he served in the Marine Reserve finally in the Washington area. And that's per New York Times, May 2010. He never served in Vietnam. He didn't go to Vietnam. But he acted like, I mean, he led everyone to believe that he was in combat in Vietnam. And then his response was, on a few occasions, I have misspoken about my service. That was a direct quote. That is from a piece in The Week, January 8th, 2015. Wow. I mean, he has said, he didn't suggest, he said it. It's like Tim Walz. What is up with Democrats lying about what they do and where they've been? And I love how the left was trying to defend him. Oh, well, you know, he's hardly the first politician to put a spin on his military record. No, that's literally not what happened at all. Oh, my gosh. So he's the guy who's trying to say, well, even though I lied entirely about serving in Vietnam and I have a little stolen valor, I'm gonna be the guy that's going to determine. I'm going to just give a general pronouncement. I just don't think that he's qualified. I don't think a guy who lies about serving in Vietnam, I don't think that he's qualified to give an opinion about somebody else's service or their record. That's just me, though. You know, sane person in a sane world. That's just me. But wait, there's more. With the purchase of one slab chop, you get a second one. So he says this, and then you have audio soundbite 18, Senator Jack Reed, who's talking about, this is the only time a Democrat has talked about the lethality of our fighting force. Listen to this.
Our military is more diverse than it has ever been, but more importantly, it is more lethal than it has ever been. This is not a coincidence. Mr. Hegstead, I hope you'll explain why you believe such diversity is making the military weak and how you propose to undo that without undermining military leadership and harming readiness, recruitment.
Well, you've already harmed readiness and you've already harmed military recruitment. I got to tell you, I was sitting at a table with a number of very smart military people, and they were talking about recruitment. And I don't want to say who it was, but it was somebody who works in D.C. and works in DOD and runs a branch of the military. And they had asked, you know, what are your thoughts about the difficulty with recruitment? I mean, I'm a civilian. I'm not going to pretend otherwise. But I said this, I go, well, if I can speak frankly and no disrespect meant, it's kind of hard to try to come up with different ways about messaging or to ask it, you know, give advice on messaging when the biggest messages are the guy in a skirt with lipstick and medals on his jacket. And he's standing there talking about how this is apparently a strength of the fighting force and not actual, you know, lethality. Or people falling off the side of a plane taking off from the Hamid Karzai International Airport in Afghanistan. 13 service members who knew that they were going to be blown up and who were subsequently blown up. All the problems with the VA. I mean, I could go on and on. I'm like, that. There's your messaging problem. That's the messaging problem. They shouldn't be making news except for kicking ass. That's what our fighting forces should do. And they sit here and go, well, diversity's, I'm so tired of that stupid, stupid saying. It's dumb. What do you mean diversity is strength? E pluribus unum. Suddenly the founders are dumber than the morons today trying to rewrite history. E pluribus unum. And the military, the strength comes from the uniformity. Again, it's like that scene from Zack Snyder's 300. And you have Leonidas, who's talking to, I can't remember his name, the one guy, obviously, who has a deformity that prevents him from serving in Sparta's army. And he says, look, he said, you have the heart of a warrior, but you're not able to raise your shield up, which means you're leaving this guy behind you exposed. I can't have any cracks on my defense because it threatens the whole. That's what Leonidas told him. And then he betrayed Leonidas because he was butthurt, proving that it was never for him about the mission. It was always about self-glorification. And that's the problem with today. Is it about the mission or is it about self-glorification? Because if you're demanding that the military accommodate as their priority over the lethality mission, the lethality of the mission you're on, the fact that you like to have sex a certain way or that you want to pretend that you're a boy or a girl or whatever, this is about self-glorification for you, and it's not about mission first. It's not about the uniformity of the military. You're refusing to join part of the whole. So you shouldn't act surprised when you're bounced. Nobody has time for that. That's the infection in the military today. They're trying to destroy our safeguard for this republic. The one thing that the federal government actually can do, defense. Article 1, Section 8. And it is a problem. It absolutely is. So what does that mean? That all diversity is our strength. Uniformity is the strength of the military. They're a fighting force. That's their strength. And, of course, they focus so much on the women. Oh, women combat. Nobody has a problem with women as helicopter pilots. And women being in combat in that way. What he is specifically talking about, and it's disingenuous to omit otherwise, what myself and so many have discussed, is sending women literally on the ground in. No. And I'm sure someone has a cousin or a sister or an auntie somewhere. Oh, they did this. They could do it. Great. That's the exception. We don't make rules for the exception. And it's either about the fighting force, and it's about the mission of the military and the objective that you seek to accomplish, or it's about self-glorification at the cost of everyone else's safety. That's the question. It's if you're facing back taxes or unfiled returns, you know, because the government, under threat of penalty, takes your money, and then they have the audacity to say that you're just voluntarily paying your taxes when it's done so under, it's extortion, but whatever. Tax Network USA, they know all about it. They know how the IRS works. They understand the pressure that they can apply. It doesn't matter if you owe $10,000 or $10 million, if you're an individual or a business. Tax Network USA is the top tax relief expert in the nation. They have secured over $1 billion in tax relief for their clients. And they offer penalty forgiveness, hardship programs, in compromise solutions for lump sum settlements. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, their experts are there to help. It's collection season. A lot of these pay-up notices are going out for 25. Let Tax Network USA help reduce or eliminate your debt. They have a proven success record. Schedule your complimentary consultation today. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana. That's tnusa.com/Dana. Don't let the IRS's aggressive tactics control your life. Empower yourself today with Tax Network USA. Take control of your financial future. tnusa.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, up to 4 in 10 people could develop dementia after age of 55. That's kind of terrifying. It's higher than historically normal, say the doctor folk. So they said, here's what you can do to lower your risk. And that's when I just stopped caring. I'm like, nah, whatever. And just is anybody actually going to do any of this stuff? They're like, what you do in midlife really matters. Okay. And they're like, it's not only Alzheimer's, you know, and they get into blah, blah, blah. They make you read the whole article before they go, okay, here are some risk things you can do, blah, blah, blah. Like, they actually said one of the things in here was wear a helmet when biking. I have a story about bicycling, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And they're like, exercise is good. Exercise is good just generally. Ah. Let's see. 1/3 of Americans say their partner acts like a baby when they're sick. How are so many people soft? When I'm sick, I still show up unless I'm real bad.
most vulnerable part of your life is when you're sick.
I guess when you're a baby.
What if you're a sick baby? That's even worse.
They said that they did this research and they found that and they were looking at what's the most common complaints in winter. And then they said, you know, their partner's acting like babies when they're sick. Jeez. I don't know. I have feels about that headline. It just seems ignorant. Let's see. A theorist warns humanity is teetering between collapse and advancement. Yes. Does it involve an asteroid? Some sweet asteroid action? I'm just wondering. Does it? Oh, there you go. Oh, here's where I immediately stopped caring about this article. When is the end for humankind? The article states, and you can tell that because I'm reading it in a stupid voice. Whether it's by a nuclear holocaust or the result of exceeding a critical climate threshold, map, and I'm done. Moving on. Let's see here. You can't just hang out at Starbucks anymore. You have to order some of their burnt bean water in order to continue being there. Coffee chain has reversed the policy that allowed open access to its cafes because they're trying to improve store environments. I don't go into Starbucks's. I don't like their coffee. And I think that the peppermint mocha? Pumpkin spice. It tastes like turkey water. I don't like it.
I used to like the pink
peppermint
drink.
Spice taste, or the peppermint thingy tastes like diabetes.
The pink drink was good for a little bit.
What the hell is that even?
What? You've had that before? I know.
I don't have that estrogen swill.
Yes, you have.
I have not had no pink drink, sir.
I haven't had it in a long time, but I remember when I did have it. It was good.
It tastes like pink. So you're going to tell me next. Anyway, they reversed their policy. That's really the only point of sharing that. Also, a hotel booking site were caught overcharging travelers from the Bay Area. They're from the Bay Area. Yeah. Don't go there. You don't have that problem. There you go. Look, I solved all the world's problems just like that. All right, so coming up, Facebook and Meta. Guys, they made the Duke and Duchess of Sussex angry. Oh, pinky's out. Whatever shall we do? We're going to talk about that and everything else. Stick with us. What does living better mean to you? Is it more money, a bigger house? Now think about this. What about how you feel physically every day? Life is so much better when you feel good. When you wake up feeling great, you can do more of the things that you love and you're ready to take on the day. If pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help change that. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor supports your body's response to inflammation. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. And it's safe to take daily. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel better every day and you'll live better every day. Trying Relief Factor is easy. Get their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or visit relieffactor.com.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of the Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Respectful, lawful authority. You have made statements to your platoon after being briefed by a JAG officer. Well, by the way, would you explain what a JAG off is?
I don't think I need to, sir.
Why not?
Because the men and women watching understand.
Well, perhaps some of my colleagues don't understand.
I just want to hear
it. It would be a JAG officer who puts his or her own priorities in front of the warfighters. Their promotions, their medals, in front of having the backs of those who are making the tough calls on the front lines.
Thank you, Senator Reid.
Interesting.
Thank you, Senator Reid.
Mr. Reid's like, the Senator Reid, I just think I found a hobby on the weekends. Can you tell us what this, I mean, we clearly all know what it is, Pete, but I just want to file it away in my own personal bank so I can just relive it when I feel like it. This hearing is such a joke. The way the Democrats are handling it is making it a joke. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you at the bottom of the second hour. Okay, we're going to come back to it. I got to change gears here. Because Facebook has been getting, look, I get it. Mark Zuckerberg didn't realize how bad the censorship was until he legit got censored on Facebook. And then he was like, what? And now they're undoing all their fact-checking stuff. I get it. I mean, whatever brings you around. But now there's these leftists are upset, and some of the people who are on the left who got super upset, and we're supposed to care. It's the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Where America? What the hell do those titles mean? Nothing. Nothing. I love the people who are like, we just want our privacy. But then they're like, Duchess of Sussex. They have to constantly use that all the time. That shit cannot go anywhere without being like, well, Duchess of Sussex, with everything. So what is it? The ginger in his D-list, not even a main role on some Canadian drama. I don't even know what it was. What was it called? Briefcases? Suitcase? No, that's it. She was in a game show, and then she did a drama. She was the suitcase girl on a game show, and then she did this Canadian drama.
I don't do dramas.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I didn't watch it. Nobody knew it until, I mean, her biggest role was pretending that she's in love with this guy, the Prince Harry. Anyway, they released this statement. Tina, why are you being so mean? Because they released this statement and it's so stupid. I'm not going to read it out loud to you because I've never seen anybody write so much and say so little. I can tell this Megan, verbal typo, wrote it because it's one of the dumbest things I've read. It goes on and on. It's just a bunch of rambly word salad, bad grammar, and 5-star cringe. That's it. I mean, it's wild. They're upset because Meta allowing more free speech is going to undermine the free speech, my guys. It's going to undermine it, Duchess of Sussex. It's going to... So I'll share with you some. They go... Contrary to the company's talking points, allowing more abuse and normalizing hate speech serves to silence speech and expression, not foster it. Wait, what? So I love how the left goes, if your speech isn't what I want, then it's hate speech. They consider hate speech to be things that disagree with them. Like if they go, the best color is blue, and you go, I really like green. That's hate speech. Duchess of Sussex, that's what they do. So they're upset over Meta. They're upset and they write, millions of people are using Meta's platforms in the United States. Hundreds of millions more are using them globally. Wait, full stop. What? What? We didn't know that, Kane. We would have known it if the Duchess of Sussex hadn't put it in a statement. What? They add many. Why even waste the energy to put these dumb sentences in a statement? Many use the platform to spread joy and build community and share empowering information. Unfortunately, Meta's recent decision go directly against its stated mission to build human connection and instead prioritize those using the platform to spread hate and lies and division at the expense of everyone else. The Duchess of Sussex. Constantly. First off, I love how, you know, lots of people can use the Meta. They use the Facebooks. Mm-hmm. She sounds like a grandma writing this. And I can tell that she wrote it because it's particularly dumb. And then they say, oh, we're alarmed by plans to abandon the commitments. Who cares what you're... What do these two grifters do? I agree with this. What is it? The Netflix or Spotify? I don't know. Everybody that they've ever entered into a contract, they never actually develop projects. It's like they half-ass it. They did this polo thing. Nobody cares. I'm sorry. Nobody cares about polo. They really don't. It's a rich person sport. I like the horses. I'll pet the horses. I'll feed one an apple. I don't watch it. I'm not even going to pretend. They did this thing called polo. And after they had their weird documentary, and then she has a cooking show coming out where she rips off all everybody else's recipes on Pinterest and she pretends to cook. And all you see is her fidgeting with every single dish that she's expecting people then to eat. It's gross. And her hair's everywhere. It's like, tie your damn hair back in the kitchen. My gosh. I don't know. But why is it that someone that insists on using British titles in the United States is trying to control speech in the United States? We don't have a monarchy here. You guys should have actually stayed in Britain and done the work and been content to be behind the prince and princess over there. Oh, but see, they thought that title, they were upset. They didn't want to have to curtsy to people that outranked them. They didn't want to have to deal with all of that stuff. So they came over here to try to set up a court in Montecito. So their rage, they have no influence. These are people who come up with these, like, all these different organizations, and they send out statements to make it look like they're doing something, but they don't actually do anything. They shut up in Los Angeles. I mentioned this yesterday. Disaster tourism is what Justine Bateman accurately called it. And reports on the ground said that they stayed for like 17, 20 minutes and were gone. And so she basically drove 2-something hours from Montecito to LA to stand around in a ball cap and then take pictures and act like they were doing something. Seriously? This is so dumb. What have they actually done? Didn't he start a travel company that was supposed to be about green travel? And aren't they under now? And their Archwell Foundation, because they have to make their filings public because of how they're tax structured. So when they publish their financials, the majority of all the money that's given goes towards people's salaries. Like, they don't do anything. And so they come out with this, oh, these are harmful setbacks and blah, blah, blah. And this is dumb. No one cares what the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Nobody cares what these two grifters think about what Facebook is doing. They are so uninfluential. She can't even get a bite. She can't even get an invite to Gayle King's birthday party. She couldn't even get an invite to that. Didn't see him at any of them Golden Globe parties. You know, they were going to go to Hollywood and really shake it up. But, you know, no, they can't. They can't deliver. They said, having worked in this space for the last 5 years, you didn't work. Those filings also show how much they work. For basically a couple hours that they might put in a week, they get six figures or something like that. That's what the salaries, that's what the public financials were showing. I mean, it's so lame. The last thing we need are, you know, two trans monarchists trying to tell everybody how to think and what speech is allowed in the United States. Good heavens. It's so on brand for them. What have they touched that hasn't just turned to feces? Nothing. But this idea that you're demanding censorship for speech translates into more speech is dumb. What they're calling for is censorship. More speech is how you combat bad speech. You combat bad speech with good speech. But the problem is that the left, in order to shut down debate and to secure their rhetorical positions, they just don't allow for debate. They just shut it down because they're too damn lazy to defend their position. They feel like they are too good to defend their position. Like, how dare you challenge them? How dare you make them articulate a reason as to why they support this issue that they support? So instead, because they don't feel like putting in the work, and half of them honestly don't even know why they support what they support, which is why they don't want to debate it. They don't know. It's a seamster trendy thing to just jump on and support whatever issue. Oh my gosh, all the right popular lefty people are mad at Facebook. Duchess of Sussex, I'm going to be mad at Facebook too. And then you come out with this statement, a dollar short, day late. But they don't know really why they support what they support. And so as a result, they're even more defensive about having to defend it and give reasons as to why they support this position. They think that they don't have to. You do, but they don't. They don't owe you a reason. They just do. But you got to prove that you're not hate speech. That's how they do this. I'm done with it. I mean, if they want to get into a battle of like the wits with people on this stuff, they're going to have a hard time. They're going to have a really hard time. And I'm, you know, for whatever reason that Facebook decided to do what they did, I'm glad that they did. Coming up, we got to talk about Hamas accepting a draft hostage exchange. I do wonder how much Trump went out there saying, yeah, well, FAFO, when I come into office, if you haven't released these hostages. I'm curious as to how much that affected this. And also, I love the idea, and this is what we really need to be saying. No, no, no. If you want to negotiate a ceasefire, you got to start by releasing hostages. I would say every day that you don't release hostages, we're going to bomb another part of Gaza. And that really, why is it, by the way, that Hamas, the elected government of Gaza, they expect everyone else to care about Gazans more than they do? Think about it. We got to go to got Florida Man on the way. ReadyWise stands ready to support your self-reliance and preparedness journey. This is something that you would rather have and not need than need and not have. It has a 25-year shelf life, and you have security in simplicity. They have an array of product choices to meet every budget for the one-month supply. You got a two-bucket bundle. You've got the three-month emergency supply. Everything is designed and arranged by their team of in-house culinary experts. So they're making sure that you get your caloric needs, your healthy carbs, your protein, everything that you need to sustain yourself throughout the day. They got three hots and snacks and whey milk and all kinds of stuff. Perfect for emergencies or even camping, comfort in a crisis and beyond. It tastes good. You know, the chain of command, U.S. ingredients, U.S. plant. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com. Promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Did God bless the United States of America? Pastor Alan Jackson says yes.
I believe God has blessed this nation, that he's called it into existence. It isn't perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. But we continue as we lean towards the Lord to make improvements. There is no greater expression of liberty and freedom among civilized human beings than we've seen from our own nation in the last 250 years. As imperfect as it may be, that's true.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so first up, some of these are so inappropriate. It's ridiculous. Let's start. Well, I got one that was for just regular thefts, and then I got a guy who stole a cross. I just feel like that's, if you do that, you're going to get in trouble with the Lord. Just feels like a guy stole a giant cross from a Pensacola church and he was caught with it at a Tennessee motel in Sumner County. It was early December. He got caught with it Wednesday night at a Tennessee motel. Jacob Vanderberg, 31, is facing charges of theft, trespassing, and robbery. He stole it from the St. Paul Catholic Church on Hyde Road. And he said that he was just looking for Jesus. Put the big old cross in his van and took off. And they found him at a Country Inn motel, and they were able to get it back to the, you know, to the church. The church was looking for it, you know, came off the front of the church. So it wasn't like a little necklace. It was a big old cross. Of all the things to steal, why? Like, why that one? I don't know. A Lakeland man was arrested for being a pervert at a playground. Golly. And he looks like one, too. Polk County Sheriff's Office. They arrested this 56-year-old freak in Lakeland. He was at a park having self time, and he shouldn't have been. It was bad.
Intimate self time.
Intimate self time. I don't know how else to say it. And in front of full view of kids. And he has two previous convictions for doing the same thing. He was arrested. He's being held in $10,000 bond, third degree felon, because he goes to where kids are and does this. What is the argument against just, you know, taking him off of this plane?
Yeah.
Where's the argument against that? I don't see any good ones. So he's going to be if they don't do something about this guy's going to molest a kid if he hasn't already. Honestly, this South Florida man was accused of calling in a bomb threat to the police department. That's a great way to get yourself arrested. He called and hung up at 8:42 in the morning. There's a bomb in your parking lot. They had shut down the whole block, cordoned off for the day. They closed the parking garage, evacuate police headquarters. They found no hazards, nothing. And then they reopened everything later that day. They found him, though, in Palm Beach County. He called from a medical facility. They detained him and they booked him in Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. I just want to know, like, how... Why would you do that? Did he want to go to jail? Because it's a great way to go to jail. If you want to go to jail, calling a bomb threat to the police, they'll totally take you to jail. Let's see here. This, we've got, oh yeah, there's this one. This is wild. This is a sad story. A neighbor was taking down his Christmas lights and he spotted as he was taking his Christmas lights down, a body in the pond by his house. In a retention pond. That's so sad. Bradley Sugar, 48, was reported missing January 7th, found dead January 12th, according to Collier County Sheriff's Office. His mother reported him missing. She said that she got a frantic call from him. He sounded out of breath, but he said he was out of medication. His house was in disarray. They couldn't find him. 5 days later, neighbors taking out Christmas lights and finds him floating in the retention pond. So they think that they're just trying to figure out what happened to him. I mean, good heavens. It's just so sad. Incredibly sad. A Florida driver whose blood his blood alcohol limit were 6 times the legal limit. Good night. He was found with a dozen empty wine bottles strewn across the floor of his car. His blood alcohol content was over 6 times the legal limit.
Wait a minute. If 0.08 is the limit, 6 times that is 0.48, which is almost half.
Yeah.
So half your blood is alcohol?
Wow.
What?
The Haines City Police got a 911 call about an unresponsive driver, and they found him, Miguel Rodriguez, unconscious behind the wheel, car in gear, engine running, foot on the brake. So they parked their patrol car in front of his so he wouldn't lurch into traffic. They couldn't wake him up. They had to break the passenger side window because he had it locked to put the car in park and remove the keys. That's when they found 12 opened and totally consumed bottles of wine. And he was like drifting in and out of consciousness. They took him to the hospital. Yeah, that's where he had, it was a more than that, 0.523 cane.
What?
How do you survive? That's God's work. Just
that's
the
insane.
Idea of you surviving is God's work.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. So he faces 1 count of DUI. Oh my. We got a third hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. We got all the latest. Looks like the hearing is over for now. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Preborn. This is such a great organization, and they do so much to protect lives, save lives, and also grow families as well. Preborn is right there. They meet women where they are. It's a Sanctity of Life Month, which I didn't know we had that, but that's neat. And the reality still is that, you know, the abortion means are changing. Everything is like, you know, the morning after pill, et cetera. But in 23, there were over 1 million lives lost in abortion clinics. It's the highest number in over a decade. So Preborn, what they do is they meet women where they are, and they've saved 200 babies every day on average. And they do this through a number of things. The power of ultrasounds. When a woman hears her baby's heartbeat, when she sees her infant in an ultrasound, the chance for that baby to be born increases by 50%. But they also help these women get or stay on their feet. They help them all the way towards the second year of life. So they're there helping with baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and making sure that these women, that they're on the right track with their families. And it's free of charge. And this is what Preborn does. This is what your donations do. For $28, it's the cost of a dinner. You can sponsor an ultrasound, give a mother opportunity to meet her baby for the first time. Everything is tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Dial #250 and help. Say the keyword baby after dialing #250. That's pound or hashtag for Gen Z. 250 and say the word baby. You can also donate securely at preborn.com/Dana.
Senator Kaine, or I guess I better use the senator from Virginia, starts bringing up the fact that what if you showed up drunk to your job? How many senators have showed up drunk to vote at night? Have any of you guys asked them to step down and resign from their job? And don't tell me you haven't seen it, because I know you have. And then how many senators do you know have got a divorce before cheating on their wives? Did you ask them to step down? No. But it's for show. You guys make sure you make a big show and point out the hypocrisy, because a man's made a mistake. And you want to sit there and say that he's not qualified? Give me a joke. I mean, it is so ridiculous that you guys hold yourself as this higher standard and you forget you got a big plank in your eye. We've all made mistakes.
Yeah, well, and he isn't wrong about the lawmakers showing up drunk. That is true. Oh, that's true. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you at the top of this third hour. That was Mark Wayne Mullen. And he was going after Tim Kaine's line of questioning, because Tim Kaine was... it was weird. I feel like Democrats just got really, I don't think they did any damage. I don't think they landed any blows. I really don't. I don't think that they did. And they needed to if they were trying to sway any Republicans away from supporting Hegseth and his nomination to Secretary of Defense. That's what these hearings are all about. We've been covering that. We got a lot more audio as well. Also have some audio or also have some headlines as it pertains to the fires. Yeah, let's hear the wise words of Vice President Kamala Harris, shall we? Audio soundbite 16. Let's see what kind of insightful gem she has to share.
And so it's critically important that to the extent you can find anything that gives you an ability to be patient in this extremely dangerous and unprecedented crisis that you do.
She just puts me asleep every time she starts talking. I mean, puts me right to sleep. Who needs melatonin when you can just play something that she says? What the hell is she saying here? It's critically important that to the extent that you can find anything that gives you an ability to be patient. What does that mean?
Being patient.
Does she have a problem just speaking directly?
Yes.
It's messed up. It's messed up. Just saying. I don't know. But Biden only has what? A week, not even a week. Next week he's out. He's out next week. Because this is pretty much all you're getting anymore. Audio soundbite 5. This is it. This is all you're getting with Biden anymore. That's it. They're looking at wildfire devastation. And he's in that. He just doesn't even know. He's out. He's out. Man. I was reading Michelle Obama is not going to the inauguration. She wasn't at Carter's funeral and she's not going to the inauguration either. Is there trouble in Obamaville? Inquiring minds. Just saying, is there trouble in Obamaville? I'm curious. Now, in the meantime, obviously, wildfires are continuing, and it is really, I mean, the headlines that keep coming out about this are pretty unbelievable. I was reading a story, it was about Newsom, because you keep hearing Karen Bass has cut this budget and has cut that budget and requested a reduction in this spending, whatever. It's like the stuff that you don't want to reduce. He apparently also was cutting firefighting budgets. He shortchanged the state's vital fire prevention programs per New York Post, but yet he was handing out tens of billions of dollars on Green New Deal handouts. And including some of the environmentalists too. The governor's new budget slashed the state's firefighting efforts by $101 million. And it left them with, I mean, it sounds like a lot of money to us, but in the context of the whole state and fire and disaster, they have a little over $2 billion now. They cut a lot out of it, and they were redirecting the funds to all the green garbage. He had a almost $15 billion price tag in transitioning the state of California to zero emission only vehicles and other clean energy initiatives. And that was $100 billion in costs, the New York Post reports, over the next several years for even more pure political climate initiatives, is what they were called. DEI, advocacy, and so much. They said that the town of Berry Creek had been trying to clear out dead wood and other fuel to help prevent wildfires, but they got stopped by environmental laws. That town was almost wiped off the map by a wildfire in 2020. They were clearing up, doing what they should be doing, clearing up the undergrowth and all of that. With the regulations and everything, it took one California homeowner 12 years to rebuild after one of the last major wildfires. The Malibu Times reported on the story. It was the California Coastal Commission. This homeowner had to fight. It took 12 years for approval to rebuild after his home was destroyed in the 1993 fire. 12 years. And I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, and it's all these like goofy environmental things that actually don't have a positive impact on the environment. That's the big thing. They don't really have that. It's not a great, they don't have that impact on the environment. And it doesn't, I mean, that's how they always advertise it. That's why we do what we do. But that's not, I mean, they got friends that run these green energy companies. That's how they make all their cash. It's true. But it's wild. So he cut this fire budget. He also, remember, in 2020, he blamed cars for the North Complex blaze. That was one of the deadlier ones. It was caused by lightning. That's according to authorities. But Gavin Newsom said that it's climate change. So they're looking right now. I mean, $275 billion in damages per AccuWeather, making it the costliest disaster in the U.S. And they keep saying, oh, it's caused by climate change. But they saw record rainfall. They refused to store the rainwater and save it. That's not climate change. That is a dippy governor. He created a new website called California Fire Facts just to try to blunt the criticism that he's been receiving from all this. He's trying to put a firewall around his political career, you could say. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I think they said what the Palisades fire yesterday was only like 14% contained. I think it's a little bit more contained today. That's how difficult it is to deal. And then they had another fire that kicked off. And I don't know how some of these people are going to rebuild. I don't know where some of these kids are going to go for school, where some of these teachers and other individuals are going to work. Now, in the meantime, I'm going to switch gears here, looking at some of the foreign policy before we circle back to domestic issues. They've been dealing with a ceasefire draft. Hamas is reportedly considering accepting this hostage exchange deal. This has been an ongoing back and forth. In the meantime, you have Jake Sullivan at NSA trying to say that, oh, well, audio soundbite 11, Biden was saving so many lives in Gaza. Listen to this.
We also were going to speak out on principle on protecting the basic rights and lives of civilians in Gaza. And that meant pushing Israel when we felt they went too far. It meant pushing for more humanitarian assistance. And we do believe that our interventions with respect to the flow of humanitarian assistance into Gaza did save lives and did stave off the famine that was warned about at multiple points over the course of the past 14 years.
Really? The Associated Press says it's a real deal. Really, what has Biden helped? Biden hasn't done anything. In fact, I think they only moved because Trump said he was going to stick a foot up their backside. So they have this draft agreement for a ceasefire and the release of dozens of hostages, according to some of the mediators involved, including Qatar. They said that Israel and the Gazan group were at the closest point yet to sealing the deal. And that you have the Egyptians involved, the Qataris involved, and apparently they said it's authentic. So we'll see. I don't know. Maybe. Apparently it hasn't come to the Israelis yet. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Trump said that there was a handshake version of the deal. And by the end of the week, he said that they're close to getting it done. And apparently, though, this, according to Times of Israel, they said Hamas has been notifying their other little terror factions in Gaza to prepare for such a deal. Because they're trying to, I think, not only free up their other terrorists to fight if they're going to do it, but also you remember a lot of these hostages are spread out amongst these factions. So interesting. So we'll see as we get if any details, you know, obviously we'll publish them. But it looks like it was like a 5-1 maybe exchange for the hostages. We'll see. But this is how, it's interesting that now they're going to come to the table. So many things have changed. In the meantime, let's swing back. We're going to talk about some of the domestic issues, including within the GOP. In Florida, you have RINOs that are actively fighting against having to implement Trump's immigration agenda. That is why people say, well, Florida, you don't have to worry about. They're all Republicans. It matters the type of Republican. It's one of the reasons why they don't have open carry. One of the reasons why they have a waiting period, all the stupid stuff, because of these weak Republicans that are in the legislature. So we're going to talk about some of this as well here coming up. A culture discussion. Stop elevating grifters. I'm talking about people like Andrew Tate. Verbal typo and it stays. It's our friends over at All Family Pharmacy. This is such a great service. You need to memorize the website. They make it so easy. All Family Pharmacy helped my family out a lot over Thanksgiving because, you know, right on Thanksgiving when offices are closed and you end up getting sick, it's a mess and you got to get medicine. All Family Pharmacy made it super easy. And you can visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Use code Dana and you'll get 10% off of your entire order. So this is affordable access, easy and cost effective for medicine. You don't have to break the bank to access these medicines. There's no red tape. There's no hassle. Everything's made in the USA. You're not getting Chinese antibiotics. It's not how that's working. They got a proven track record. And you work with their doctors. Their doctors get you the medication that you need. Fast delivery right to your door. You can even overnight stuff if needed. And you can rely on All Family Pharmacy to keep your health needs on track. If you need antibiotics, if you need things like hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, which is actually a good antiviral, you can get those at All Family Pharmacy. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Get 10% off of with using code Dana. 10% off your purchase using code Dana10. It's Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order only at allfamilypharma.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, let's... we're still, I think that the hearing wrapped up, but we still got a lot of audio from it. We'll share that with you coming up. The, let's see, Oahu residents are turning in fireworks at an amnesty event at Aloha Stadium because they're worried about fire. There's a, they call it an amnesty event for fireworks. So after New Year's Eve, they apparently had multiple fireworks fatalities. Wow. And many others were injured apparently. So they had an amnesty event. Okay, you can't, like, stick the lit firecracker in your face and do all that. I mean, I've successfully shot firecrackers out of empty beer bottles and off of rooftops and in back alleyways and everywhere else. And I have held Roman candles and I've done every... And I've never blown myself up, despite everything my mother warned me about. Never blew myself up Tropic Thunder style. No? But they said that they are encouraging everyone to get there, to get, turn their fireworks in. Because not because of so much fire, but because so many people apparently blew themselves up with them. They said, according to this survey, many young adults are unable to do basic tasks, including changing light bulbs. They said the study suggests that many from Gen Z are called G-O-T-D-I-T-S, get others to do it. And they can't do a lot of do-it-yourself stuff. And that's the 18 to 27 group. They did not know what a spanner was. They could not change a ceiling light bulb. And they said that ladders are too dangerous. Wow. I hope that everything's real peaceful and cool for the next, like, 40 years. Because that makes me a little nervous. Let's see. A tsunami threat was issued for Japan after a 6.9 earthquake rocked the southernmost portion of the island. They said that... Nah, that's a pretty big one. 6.9. The Mizuyaki Prefecture, where they said it was centered. It's in the southwestern part of the country. And they said residents in the coastal city of Kochi were urged to evacuate immediately as a precaution. The tsunamis are no joke. No joke. And let's see. That's a headline that was repeated that we already had. Let's see. And a couple others here. I want to make sure we get to. They had... police arrested two. We had this yesterday, too. They arrested two burglars at Harris's Brentwood home. That's an old headline. The dump truck that Trump rode in on during his campaign is going to appear in the inaugural parade. The dump truck that he rode, that it said Trump make America great again. Remember he rolled up. Where is McDonald's going to have a role in this? Like, he should come out with special attendees and call them McDonaldonians. For the great people of McDonaldonia, my chicken tendies. So the dump truck, though, is apparently going to appear in the inaugural parade. Who knew? Get golden arches. Get something. I don't know. Something there. And millions of Americans could be eligible for stimulus checks. Why? Why? Why do you need them? This is so dumb. Up to $1,400. The IRS is sending all of the money they stole from us out to everybody else. It's wealth redistribution. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. The chat's over at Rumble, and then we've got Substack, the newsletter as well. I was looking at this thing from Elizabeth Warren, and she was saying our military can help lead the fight in combating climate change. They're fighting something else. Stop using our military for your pet projects that have nothing to do with their purpose. That's dumb. But now you can kind of get a little insight into how the minds work of these people that were asking these ridiculous questions. All right, one of the other big things, because we were talking about two things that issues on the right. The first thing has to do with the issue of immigration and with respect to Florida, because Trump has already stated that he's going to have a bunch of executive orders his first week in, and it's going to be historic. And they are, everybody's trying to do everything that they can to be able to hit the ground running. Because again, remember, you have midterms coming up, you're going to have about maybe 6 months, and then a lot of these people get into moderate mode ahead of elections. And, you know, that's one of the things you're going to be looking at. The issue with this is that in Florida, the governor called for a special session so that they could immediately start and get some of this stuff done and start implementing POTUS-elect's agenda. And I saw that a couple of the rhinos that are there, Daniel Perez is one, and there are several others that are insisting that they don't want to show up to do the work. They're mad that they're being expected to show up and do the work. And these are the same people that have blocked an open carry bill in Florida for forever. And so you have... I'm opening up some of their tweets right now so I can just, you know, make sure I'm accurate when I go through them all. You have people like Joe Gruters who retweeted one of the stories. There was a lefty journalist wrote a story about DeSantis calling for a special session. And Joe Gruters had retweeted this headline that said Florida Republicans to Governor DeSantis, GFY, meaning go do something unflattering to yourself. And this guy retweeted it. Of course, he's also a red flag guy. This Joe Gruters is anti-due process because he supports removing due process to expedite penalties. And that's what red flag laws are. It's about expediting the penalties, and you don't get your day in court until much, much later if you get it. So they're super rhinos. These are super big time moderate rhinos, and they're livid that they got to show up and work. And they acted like one of them. This is weird. One of them, Randy Fine, was acting like they didn't know the special session was happening and he had no idea what this bill was. Well, he refiled the damn bill, and he was tweeting about the special session 12 hours ago. Everybody knew about it. So they're trying really hard. They just don't. These are moderate Republicans that have contributed so much to the problem of rampant illegal immigration. They think that they can just slide into it. And if they take it slow, then you're not really going to notice that they're not going to do anything to fix this at all. That's the issue. I mean, DeSantis met with Trump at the beginning of the month to talk about his executive orders for immigration. And then he called the special session for January 27th to assist POTUS elect's agenda. And these Florida lawmakers, they said calling a special session is premature at this time. They want to wait and not go back to work for two more months. What did I just tell you about how long Trump has before the midterm cycle starts? How long is that, Kane?
6 months.
6 months. Take two out, because that's how long Florida Republicans are going to drag their feet. They don't want to go to work. Yeah, now you see why it's important. And they're acting like, oh, well, and this is where they got over their skis. One of them said, well, you know, we don't want to get in Trump's way. He tried to actually spin this and make it look like they were the ones who were honoring POTUS elect by not getting in his way. Well, then this morning, Trump hit him over the head because he reposted DeSantis's comment about calling for a special session and getting the state ready so that they can take lead on his immigration reform. And Trump's like, this is exactly the way to do it. All of these lawmakers are eating crow right now. They're their own worst enemy sometime. The right can be its own worst enemy sometime. I usually don't talk about some of the cultural aspects of the inter-party fighting, but can we stop obsessing over this bald freak named Andrew Tate? Taint or whatever his name is. I was just guessing. I'm not being mean. This guy, if you're unfamiliar with him, count yourself lucky. Count yourself lucky. You are a blessed individual, and you don't need to be. You don't need to go look him up, because save yourself. So this guy is not one of the best, you could say. I have no idea why people act like he's like the celebrated victim, or that he is a thought leader on the right. He's got some bad history. He's got some really bad history, and he's been accused of a lot of stuff. And one thing that we do know is that he is a porn purveyor. He actually he's tricked, and he's talked about it on video and bragged about like tricking chicks into being cam girls for him. He made his money grooming women and getting them to perform on camera for money. That's how he made his cash. And I don't know why people are acting like he is a conservative thought influencer or whatever it is. It's really weird. He's not masculine. He's a single unmarried guy. He doesn't know a serious relationship. He's abusive. There's a video of him beating a woman with a belt online. I'm not going to play it. It's out there. There's other videos too. And he tries to act like he is this upstanding, wholesome, you know, conservative person when he's sitting. He knows his audience. He knows exactly what to tell some of these conservative talking heads to pull the wool over their eyes. And then they act like they're a fangirl. This guy, he's praised Hamas. He's praised terrorists. I thought it was really disconcerting that Alina Haba, who's an advisor to Trump, was saying that she was a fan of this guy. You're a counselor to the president of the United States, and you're fangirling over a guy who says he's a fan of Hamas and beat the ass of a woman on a video with a belt and made money pimping chicks on sex cams? Really? You know, it's not empowering when women pretend to entertain the vices of weak men and pretend that it's feminism supporting masculinity. It does nobody any favors to do that. Anybody can go out there and run their mouth. Not everybody can be a man. And pimping chicks out on sex cams, that's not the behavior of a man. It's the behavior of a pimp. It's not a behavior of a man. Chivalry is part of being a man. And not every man is strong enough or self-sacrificing enough to be a chivalrous gentleman. And I reject the excuse that men like Andrew Tate and all these other guys give. Like, oh, well, women today, feminism. Well, maybe the women that don't subscribe to those left-wing beliefs don't want anything to do with you because you're a pimp. Ever think of that one? Just because they don't come to you doesn't mean that they don't exist. That's number one. Number two, only a weak man, a weak male would say, well, whether or not I'm a man depends on the woman. That's what a beta says. That is not what an alpha says. But people need, and this is for clicks. I've seen people do interviews with this guy, and I don't care who people talk to, but don't sit here and say Christ is king on the internet and then go and talk to a guy and softball him questions about how awesome he is while he's praising Hamas and pimping chicks out when he's not beating them with a belt or something. That's what all the reporting says. And there's the videos that are out there. They threaten to sue the internet anytime anybody talks about them. It's like they tried. It's like that's what progressives do. They try to get into lawfare. Having someone like that on your show, people are doing it for engagement and they're doing it for clicks. This guy doesn't need to tell his story. He has his own platform. He can tell his story all he wants to. But these are people who are trying to be thought makers on the right that are doing this for influence and for clicks. No one's asked him a hard question. Nobody's asked him a single hard question. Candace Owens acts like such a badass, and she softballed this guy so many questions. I'm like, a really aggressive reporter would have grilled him on this stuff. I don't even know why you have to have the. What is newsworthy about a guy who pimped out chicks for a sex cam? Who has opinions on politics? What is newsworthy about this? What does that bring to the conversation other than filth? I mean, sit here and say Christ is king all you want to, but then you're going to celebrate and fangirl over somebody who has sex with people on camera, pimps chicks out, and beats them on camera? I'm not even getting into all of the other accusations and all of his other court stuff. I mean, that's just stuff he himself has talked about. Kane, let's play some of this audio. This is audio soundbite 15. Go ahead.
All right. They didn't teach you in self-defense? Here's a little move. When I grab you by your neck and you start annoying me trying to resist, and I just... And then I grab you by your neck again. Then what the f*** are you going to do when your face is collapsed and your cheekbone's broken? You ain't going to do but cry.
I guarantee I changed the way you look at sex forever. You're going to be crying. I won't cry. I bet you cry. I bet you cry. You're saying I wouldn't cry. You're challenging me to a fight.
How is this guy considered attractive?
You're saying I can't hurt you. You're out of your mind? I don't even have to you. Forget the sex part. That's a distraction. My can stay in my pants. I'll just start beating the out of you. How about that? We walk in the bedroom. I start kicking your ass. No sex. No sex involved.
His chin just disappears into his neck.
I perfected this in pimp school. When I got my PhD, we had to practice if a girl comes at you, you cheater, you're cheating. It's bang out the machete, boom in her face, and then grip her up by the neck. Like, shut up!
I mean, it sounds like a guy who's never had consensual sex. I'm just saying. I mean, that's what it would sound like. I'm just thinking if somebody, you know. I'm just saying. Audio soundbite 16, he's talking about his cam girls.
There's more?
Oh, there's a... I'm only playing just a little bit because I don't want to debase myself by playing any more than this. God help us. Go ahead.
I have to f*** her so she obeys me. I don't give a s*** about having sex with beautiful women. I f*** them so they listen to me. So I can get what I actually want.
Oh, Christ is king though, right? All you conservative influencers.
To me,
Christ is king. Love Jesus. But hey, let's go ahead and like fillate this guy. And then when you get criticized for it, let's pretend that people are trying to deplatform you because they're pointing out that pretending to be a shepherd and then also exalting this guy are two contradictory things. And that's exactly what's happening in these interviews. He's being exalted. He's not being interviewed. People are praising him and celebrating him and acting like he's a conservative thought leader. Okay, we already have an Anthony Weiner in politics. We already have a Bill Clinton in politics. We don't need anybody else of that ilk. Okay? Good grief, especially with a weak chin like that. You don't need any more of it. Please stop trying to fangirl and exalt over trash. Just stop it. Good grief. You know, Christ is king and all that, right? I mean, that's what those people say while they're exalting this guy.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I am dying laughing at headline after headline. that says, oh, biohacking is the new thing to do. And this one story just posted biohacking on a budget. And you want to know what they're doing? They're like doing crazy things like getting 8 hours of sleep and eating healthy and like drinking lots of water. What? I'm biohacking. What? It's a hack. Sometimes it's not a life hack. It's just something you do, you know? Oh, welcome back again to the program. My friend Julio Rosas was reminding everybody that the Marine Corps did a 9-month study on women in combat units versus male-only combat units, and it showed that the male-only units outperformed the integrated units at nearly every event, and they universally sustained fewer energies. And the Navy Secretary under Obama, Ray Mabus, said that the study was sexist. Sexist towards women. So the Lord is sexist, is what you're telling me? That's what I'm hearing. I'm going to just step away. You step away from where lightning's going to strike. That's what you got to do. You just step away. Just excuse me. Just give them an old Midwest. Oops. Oh, let me get by here. Just get out of there. We're going to have to dive into this more tomorrow, but the Hunter Biden stuff, the Hunter Biden report, because, of course, you know, they're going to try to do everything that they can to obscure and downplay it, and that's why they're releasing it today. We get these hearings and the J6 stuff that all came out. Lorraine's going to have something up about that report later today, up on Substack, so you can go and sign up for the newsletter and check that out. But yeah, that's man, and we will see what happens with these hearings. Because every committee, you know, they got to go through all of these hearings. And so this is going to be like the next like week to 2 weeks. It's going to be nuts. And then they got to hit the ground running. Today in Stupidity, Kane, what do we got?
All right, Juan, this is Cut 18. And so sorry for the state of Rhode Island to have a senator like this. Jack, this is Senator Jack Reed. This is what he attributes to our military's lethality. For some reason, I don't get it, but listen to this.
Our military is more diverse than it has ever been, more importantly, it is more lethal than it has ever been.
Because I don't get
this
that.
Is not a coincidence, Mr. Hegstead. I hope you explain
either,
why you believe such diversity is making the military weak.
It's not a coincidence because it's not the truth.
Yeah,
we're not more lethal because of diversity. And that will never, ever
be
the case.
I don't know, Kane. I mean, if someone is, you know, if they are, you know, a trans man, they probably are killier than other people. Killier? Yeah.
Well, sounds like a word.
Works. It works. Folks, that does it for us today. Find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. I will be back behind the mic with you. Very cold afternoon in Texas tomorrow.